Today we start a new sermon series. I know football season kicked off last week. The regular season starts today because last Sunday was still preseason for the Saints. And, so today starts the regular season. So our sermon series starting today is entitled Game Day. And today I want to talk to you about a winning strategy. Now, how many of you know going into a football game, for any team, players know the importance of preparation. You don't just show up. There must be preparation. Game day demands preparation. You have to be prepared to play. A game demands a plan, a well-thought-out strategy. It demands it. If teams want to be successful, if they want to win, see, you have to outplay and outsmart your opponent if you want to win the game. And the coaches must and will have a game plan, a winning strategy that will win the game. But how about winning the game of life? Because that, my friends, is what I want to talk to you about today. Because we are all in the game of life. Do you have a plan for an effective life? Are you winning? And I want to tell you, you can win. And Jesus Christ has a winning strategy for you. I have an interesting book in my library. Of course, my library is very large. But I have an interesting book in my library. And the book is entitled, How to Ruin Your Life by Age 40. And it's a very interesting book, and it's written by Steve Farrar, who is he was keynote speaker back in the 90s many times for Promise Keepers Ministries, and was a pastor for many years, and is no longer pastoring the church, but he is in full-time men's ministry. And that book has some incredible insight, How to Ruin Your Life by Age 40, because there are some things that we need to do early on in life that is going to help us to win at this game of life. You know, and one of the things that it talks about in there is how important it is to choose the right person to be your life partner. Talks about marriage, you know, and how vital it is. And it talks about decision making, because everybody is where they are based upon a series of decisions that they made. So today I want to talk to you specifically about how you can have a winning strategy. You can win the game of life. So I want to pose a question. How can we do that? How can we win the game of life? How can we do it? Well, I love what Jesus says to us in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7. Matthew's Gospel chapter 7. Jesus talked about the wise and the foolish. And in verse 24, he says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. How can we win the game of life? I want to start with this parable that Jesus, we have, because he told us, if we want to win the game of life, we have to build with wisdom. You have to be wise. You know, I used to love the Sanford and Son program back in the 70s. They still show it on TV, cable TV, you know. And old Aunt Esther used to always, you know, call Fred, you old fish-eyed fool. Becky sometimes tells me that. You fish-eyed fool. No, she would never say such detrimental things. They were always going at each other. Fish-eyed fool. How many of you know we are surrounded by fish-eyed fools? Now, let me explain a little bit. You know, because Jesus is talking about it right here. You know, he says there's a lot of people that don't live in wisdom. So they live a foolish lifestyle. So we have a choice to live wise or to live foolish. So Jesus gave us a contrast of two builders. Two. He said those who are wise are going to win if they are foolish. And that's what I really want to zero in on today. Because if we are going to win at the game of life, we have to build our life with wisdom. And that's why the Word of God talks so much about, you know, surrounding yourself with the right people. Being in the right place. Amen? Because bad company corrupts good lifestyle. If you surround yourself with the wrong people, you're going to live like them. And they might be fools. They might even be fish-eyed. What is a fish-eyed fool? I don't think that's even in the dictionary, but might have to research it anyway. Two types of builders, those who hear. Jesus said, here's the wise. Those who hear and act upon what they hear. Now think about that for a minute. Because there's a lot of hearing. There's a lot of voices that people listen to. But you have to hear the right voice and you have to act upon what you hear. So those who hear and those who act upon what they hear, those are the wise. Then he said, the foolish are those who hear, but they don't act. Now we're going to go to the book of Proverbs in just a minute, because the book of Proverbs is about the prudent and the simple. The wise and the foolish, even though it uses a couple of different words. But it's the same principle, the same dynamic. So we have to understand, if we are going to win at the game of life, I have to build my life with wisdom. I have to hear and I have to act upon what I hear. Because Jesus said, those that don't, he said, the things of life are going to wreck them. Do y'all see that? Because he's talking about the floods, the rain, the wind. He said, you see, that's all the issues of life. That's all the things that life throws at us. And if we are not building with wisdom, those things will crash our lives. And I don't want my life to crash. How about you? Come on, somebody. Amen. I want to build effectively. So I want to act upon what I hear. I want to live a wise life. See, the wise have a strategy to build effectively. Living in Southeast Louisiana, you know, because of the water and everything that surrounds us, there is a lot of subsidence problems and erosion problems. That we did this new front on our building. The architect recommended that we drive some pilings to support the structure. He said, I really don't think it is necessary, or it's an absolute necessity. He said, but there's always a chance that it could sink, that it could be some soil subsidence. And he said, and with the investment on your building, he said, I would recommend, he said, it's just a recommendation. He said, I would recommend that you drive some pilings to support the structure. So naturally, it sounded to me like a wise thing. Amen. So I said, let's do it. Let's drive the pilings. It cost a little more, but the soil conditions, we want to be wise. We want to be smart. Jesus said you have to consider the soil. You have to consider what you are building on. Those who build on the sand, they are destined for failure in life. So I want to live a wise life. How can we win at the game of life? Build your life with wisdom. Have a strategy. Let's define, here's the next question. What is wisdom? What is it? Let's just give a real brief definition. See, wisdom is skill, expertise, competence that understands how life works. Now, you think about that definition for just a minute. Because there are so many people that are still trying to figure out how life works. And they haven't figured it out yet. So I want wisdom. The wise have a strategy to build effectively. What is wisdom? It is skill. It is expertise. It is competence. And it understands how life works. Even the Apostle Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus. And in Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 17, notice what he includes in his prayer. He says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Wisdom, the spirit of wisdom. This verse talks about the spirit of wisdom. See, the spirit of wisdom is the function and it's the operation of the mind of Christ. It's produced by the born-again spirit. The Bible teaches us that as people of God, if you're a born-again child of God, then you have received the law of the spirit of life that has set you free from the law of sin and death. So you operate by a better principle than most people. Are y'all with me? Amen? You don't operate by the principle of your flesh anymore. At least you shouldn't be. You operate by the principle of the Spirit, the principle of the Spirit of life. See, you receive that principle the moment you are converted, the moment you are born again. The Spirit of wisdom is spiritual insight that is placed within us when we are spiritually reborn. That's why the blind man in the Gospel of John, when they were questioning him about his eyesight and about his healing, and they were trying to find accusation against Jesus, and he said, "Listen, I don't know about any of that." He said, "But this one thing I can tell you: at one time I was blind. Come on, somebody." He said, "But now I see." Hallelujah! Listen, there was more than just a physical eyesight. I believe there was a spiritual dynamic that was being portrayed there and explained there. At one time, I didn't know what I know, Spirit, but I now have the operation of the mind of Christ produced by the Holy Spirit. See, the Bible says to live outside of the Christ life is to live by your feelings, is to live by your soul. It is to live without sense and without reason. But when the Holy Spirit is moving, working, operating in your life, you are growing, you are increasing, you are moving forward. There is an operation called the Spirit of Wisdom that is working within you. And that Spirit of Wisdom that comes from God, listen, God is skillful, God is an expert, God is competent, God is faithful, God is all-knowing, He understands how life works. Are y'all with me? So if He understands it, then I can understand it because I have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Spirit of wisdom. Spirit of wisdom. What is wisdom? Skill, expertise, competence. It understands how life works. Wisdom, my friend, draws up a game plan. Let me give you this verse. Man, I feel it. I want to give you this verse. I love the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, it is called wisdom. And I read it regularly. I mean, I'm always visiting Proverbs. I've actually been in the book of Proverbs Bible month. And Proverbs is an incredible, incredible book of the Bible. It's just short little life lessons, little sayings, you know, is what a proverb is, a short, wise saying. You know, for instance, let's just take one, you know, that people use. Have you ever heard this? An ounce of prevention is worth Y'all know that, right? An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. That's a proverb. All right? Haste makes waste. That would be a proverb. God helps those that help themselves. That's not in the Bible. Even though people think it is. Well, you know, the Bible says God helps those that help themselves. No, it doesn't. It's not in there. Trust me. I've been studying this book for 42 years. Actually, it says God helps those who can help themselves. The Bible says that God helps those who are desperate, those who are helpless, those who are unable. We are not even able to respond to God without God enabling us to do that. We can't even pray effectively, Paul said, without God inspiring it. If you want to seek God, guess what? God has to put the seek in you. Yeah. Are y'all still with me? Amen? Hallelujah. Yeah. So, wisdom. All that God imparts to us, He imparts to us this incredible spirit of wisdom. And I love this. I love this. These proverbs. So I want to give you one because wisdom draws up a game plan. That's the point I wanted to bring you to. Wisdom draws up a game plan. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16 and verse 3. It says, "Roll your works upon the Lord. Commit and trust them wholly to Him. He will cause your thoughts." Look at this. Now remember, we have the mind of Christ. Spirit of wisdom means we have the mind of Christ. You receive it when you are converted. Now what you do with it, if you develop it, if you increase it, it's totally up to you. You know, because it's just like anything. If you want to enter a career or a business, and if you want to be good at sports, then it's going to demand some things. You have to make a commitment to it. So if we want to grow in wisdom, we have to make a commitment to it. All right, so the Bible says, "Roll your works upon the Lord. Commit, trust them wholly to Him. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to His will. And so shall your plans be established and succeed." Now God says our plans will be established and they will succeed. But the key thing, my friends, is that the Bible says that when we commit ourselves to Him, He causes our thoughts to become agreeable. There's an inward work. There's something supernatural that God does on the inside of us. Now, that word works, it simply means the transactions of life. We think of transactions in the business sense. You know, you go to a store, you buy something, there's a transaction. But it goes a little deeper than that, because the word works, it means business, it means conduct, it means organization, it means management. Hallelujah. That's what it means. See, life cannot be effectively managed without the operation of wisdom. I was a Dallas Home fan when I became a born-again Christian back in the 70s and 80s, and late 70s and 80s, and Dallas Home was one of the greatest contemporary Christian singers, and I remember that song that he used to have on one of his CDs. You know, life without the Lord is a losing game, and when you lose, you only have yourself to blame. What a great truth. Life without the Lord is a losing game. Man, I don't know about you, but when I was without the Lord, I was losing. I was losing. I was losing in life. I was losing, man. Every area of my life, I was losing. It was mismanagement, bad conduct, no organization. So when we put our works to the Lord, the transactions of our life, business, conduct, organization, management, something supernatural happens, because life cannot be effectively managed without the operation of wisdom. Hallelujah. Thank God He gives it to us. All right, here's the next thing. See, wisdom must be attained. We are not born into this world with wisdom. We might be born into this world as fish-eyed fools. I don't know. Y'all know I share this statistic all the time, those that are regular members of the church.
But for those that are here for the first time today, thank you for being here. And you may not know this, but I'll share it today. Because medical science teaches us that the front lobe of the brain don't kick in until age 25. So it's not even working right when you're born. Think about it. And then I was like, man, when I read that in an article, I was like, now I know why I've been so... It wasn't. Made so many mistakes. It wasn't even working right. I mean, think of the stuff you've done when you were a teenager. Anybody remember those days? Yeah. I mean, I don't know about you, but I did some crazy, dumb, stupid stuff. Just for no reason. I remember going into a movie theater and guy that I was with, he had a motorcycle, and we used to, oh boy, you talk about God in trouble. And we were in the movie house one night, and I had some nunchucks in my boot. And I don't know why I had them. I really wasn't looking to fight anybody, but I just thought they were cool, you know. So I had nunchucks, and I was, you know, learned how to kind of play with them a little bit. So we go into the men's restroom, and I decide, you know what, I'm going to see how good these nunchucks are working. So I just pull those nunchucks out, and I just start, you know, doing my little thing with it. And all of a sudden, all those mirrors were lined up right in front of me. I said, this looks like good practice. Bam, 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 bam. Then all of a sudden, here come the police department. Now, how many of you know that was stupid? And I went to jail for vandalism. A high strung that night. And my friend, who was kind of high strung, he's in the jail cell and he's cursing the police. And I told him, would you shut up? Would you please shut up? He'd had a few too many drinks, you know. So just shut up, man. This is not going to be good. Just shut up. Shut up, stupid. Shut up. But he would not shut up. And I mean, that door opened and they came in there and it was bam, 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 bam. I mean, it happened. And I just sat in the corner. I was like, I told you. So I did have a little wisdom in that moment. But all the other times, it wasn't working. It wasn't. It wasn't working. See, wisdom must be attained. We're not born with it. Now, check this out in Proverbs chapter 1. This is a great passage right here. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 2. It says that people may know skillful and godly wisdom and instruction. Discern and comprehend the words of understanding and insight. Receive instruction in wise dealing and the discipline of wise thoughtfulness, righteousness, justice, and integrity. Wow, that's a great passage of God's word. And insight, know skillful, godly wisdom, instruction, discernment, comprehend the words of understanding, and insight, receive instruction in wise dealing, and the discipline of wise thoughtfulness, righteousness, justice, and integrity. See, why is wisdom rare in people's lives? If it's so vital, if it's so important, why is it so rare? Because people are not born with it. First of all, here's the next reason. Because wisdom is attained through instruction and discipline. Discipline means correction. And nobody likes that. I remember in the Catholic boarding school, we used to, I think I was about 11, 12. And I was in a Catholic boarding school. And I remember when the lights went out, the fun began. Because there was a lot of cutting up in the dorm. And I mean, it was the fights were on. I mean, just hitting and pillows, you know. You've probably seen on TV all those feathers coming out of the pillow. Well, that's exactly what was happening until the nuns came running in. And the paddling began. And it was nothing nice. I think my fanny still hurts. Going after all these years. And the next morning, going in, going out into school, they were giving out the lunch tokens. Were you involved in that fracas last night? And if you were, you didn't even get lunch. So when I got up to the head of the line, and you talk about intimidating, man, those religious leaders were intimidating. And I didn't know whether to lie, tell the truth. So I got up there, and were you involved in that fracas last night? No. No. No way. So I lied because I was scared to tell the truth. But the benefit was I got lunch. Hallelujah. And everything else was good. So we're not born with wisdom. Why is it so rare? Because it must be attained through correction. And nobody likes correction. Even the Bible tells us that we must, those who are wise, it says that the wise will learn and they will increase their learning. I think that's a key principle. You know, as long as I've been serving God now, I never stop learning. I never stop studying. I never stop reading. I'm always reading. Always, always. I'm always continuing to educate myself. Because you never, at this game of life, you never stop growing. Wisdom never stops developing. We need it, and it is attained through instruction, through discipline. We need the correction. We need people speaking into our lives, things that we may not necessarily want to hear. Hello, somebody. You need to surround yourself with somebody that loves you enough, they'll speak a truth into your life, which I had somebody years ago got mad at me because they asked me, what advice would you give me going into ministry? And I told them, you know, I gave them some advice towards education. And they got highly offended at me for that. I mean, you asked, so I'm supposed to lie? See, not everybody wants the correction. Listen, we must be able, and thank God, if you're surrounded with somebody that loves you enough to speak truth into your life, then you are truly blessed. Years ago, I had a man in the church. He'd say, Pastor, he said, listen, I want you to know. He said, I'm correctable. If you see something in me, if I'm doing something and I need correction, I want you to correct me because do you handle it? And I was like, great. Man, do you realize how rare you are? I said, man, that's awesome. Thank you so much. Well, I don't think no more than a month went by where I had to bring some correction to the brother. So I pulled him along the side and gave the correction. Now, he said he can handle it. But the following Sunday, Pastor, thank you so much for your ministry. But the Lord is moving me on. You said you can handle it. Right? See, nobody likes correction, but that's what the Bible says. Why is wisdom rare? First of all, we're not born with it. It is attained through instruction and discipline. We need to be corrected. Just like a child, if you're raising a child and that child is never corrected, they're going to be a holy terror. Right? Because they need correction. We all need correction. I'm talking about how to win at the game of life, having a winning strategy. Let me give you the last thing here, because I want to give you three incredible things, three keys to a winning strategy. And I'm going to bring you back to Proverbs chapter 1. Three keys to a winning strategy. All right, Proverbs 1 verse 4. It said, we already read verse 2 and 3. It says to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. I'll just include verse 5 because I just made a reference to it. A wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Wow. So Jesus said, when you build, you hear and then you do. You hear and you apply. You have to hear first. Faith is exercise. Then you begin to carry it out. Then you execute it in your life. Your life must have execution. You have to execute. See, that's why a lot of people live. It is stated, and here's another interesting statistic. Of all the wealth and abundance in the United States of America, it is said that over 80% of people in the United States that will reach retirement age at age 65, only about 5 or 6% of them will be able to write a check for $5,000. Having worked, I said, I'm always right. Now think about that. And, like I said, I'm always reading. I'm always researching. You know, so, I don't plan on being in that number. That's why I got to break Becky's shoe purchasing habit. Because I'll tell you how I'm going to write that check. I'm going to have a shoe sale at age 65. And I'm going to have so much money. I mean, man. Look, I got new ones. I had to get authorization. But I got them. Hallelujah. No, y'all know I'm just teasing. All right, let me give you these three things real quick. Three keys to a winning strategy. All right, from verse 4. There's three things that are mentioned here. Prudence, knowledge, discretion. Those are three incredible words. Get them in your spirit. Take them with you today. I'm telling you, they will give you a winning strategy. So let's real quickly just kind of talk about them, because I know we got communion as we conclude the service today. The first one is prudence. Prudence simply means to be marked by wisdom, to govern oneself by reasoning and discretion. That's what prudence means. Prudence of a Beatles song years ago. Dear Prudence. It was actually written about Prudence Farrell, who was the sister of Mia Farrell. And because of her heavy usage of LSD, how many of y'all know people were tripping in the 60s? How many of y'all know people still tripping today? They tripping more than ever. But because of her LSD usage, she turned to Eastern mysticism and to meditation. And she became so heavily involved in meditation that she became a recluse. She would shut herself up, would not come out. So the Beatles, and I think if I'm remembering correctly, I think John Lennon, you know, wrote the song. And it was, Dear Prudence, won't you come out to play? See, that's what I sang to Becky when we were dating. Let me stop. Dear Prudence, won't you come out to play? Prudence means to be marked by wisdom, to govern oneself by reasoning and discretion. See, because so many people don't give any they make and have to the future. They don't think about the choice that they make and how it will affect their lives and others' lives. A week, a month, a year, 5 years, 10 years, 25 years down. So many people don't even consider that. They live for today. But those who are prudent, they are going to govern themselves by reasoning and discretion. Then the word knowledge. The word knowledge means the ability to live life based upon relationship with God. Oh, man, I love this verse in 1 Peter chapter 1. Let me give it to you real quick. And we're going to pray, and we're going to commit this to God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and verse 3. These are great verses. Listen to what this says. Y'all got it? It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Father. He's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope, to an inheritance. To an inheritance undefiled and that fades not away. We are kept by the power of God His abundant mercy. Thank you, Jane, for sharing that concept of mercy. Five Bibles. But he says that we are born anew. I love the Amplified Bible says, into an inheritance which is beyond the reach of change and decay, imperishable, unsullied, unfaded, reserved in heaven for you. He's talking about living with a knowledge of the future, the ability to live life based upon what God has done for us, what God has done in us, and that we have relationship with Him. Hallelujah. Thank God for that relationship. Thank God that we have a knowledge. At one time, I didn't have a knowledge of God, but now I have a knowledge of God. Three keys to winning strategy: prudence, the knowledge, the ability to live life based upon relationship with God. That's why we must focus on that. We have to focus on building that relationship, because the deeper you go in that relationship, my friends, your winning strategy is going to be, it's going to kick in. It's going to begin to function and operate. And the third and last thing is discretion. The ability to outfox your temptations. I've said this before, I'll say it again. One of the first verses I ever memorized as a new Christian was 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There is no temptation able, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. All right, so every temptation that we face, God has an escape route. Think about it. He has an escape route. But how many people don't use it? Why? Because they don't have discretion. Discretion is the ability to outfox your temptations. The word discretion simply comes from the word discernment. You have to be able to discern situations. I went to a Manpower event. I'll leave you with this illustration. I went to a Manpower event back in, I guess it was early 2000s. It was an incredible, incredible event in Atlanta, Georgia. And, you know, it was T.D. Jakes, and, man, they had all the lineup. It was all black ministers. And I was there with about five other guys, and we were little white specks in the Georgia Dome among all of our brothers of color. Sometimes I think, serious, you know, I think we were the only white people there. That's why sometimes I think that, you know, I must be part black. You know? But, boy, we had a time. We had a time in that meeting. And then afterwards, of course, it was a whole weekend. It was a Friday night, all day Saturday. And then they had, like, these, these booths set up for ministries. And, and we went to that, and I met a young lady there, and I don't even remember how we talked, how we got into this conversation, but she was at one of the ministry areas, and you know, so we told her where we were from, you know, our church, and she said, listen, she said, I'm going to give you my name and my phone number, and if you come back to Atlanta, I want you to call me, and I'm going to put you in touch with my pastor. And I was like, mm-mm. First of all, my wife will kill me. So that would be the first reason not to do this. Second reason, my discernment said something wasn't right. And I don't remember what I told her, but I did not give out my phone. Discretion. But how many of you know you have to have some discretion, the ability to outfox your temptations. God has an escape route. David saw a naked woman. God had an escape clause, but she was on the front cover of Sports Illustrated, and it got the best of him. But God had an escape route, But David didn't take it. But he could have. He could have. I'm reminded of the scene in the movie, and it's one of my favorite movies with Robert Redford, the baseball film, The Natural. You know, when he was going to be he had all this incredible talent, all this ability. He was going to be a star, break records, you know. But then there was a plot and a strategy to kind of take him out, and the strategy that was engaged by the corrupt people that were controlling the sports arena used a blonde bombshell to get to him. And then his old girlfriend that they were supposed to get married, you know, he dropped out of the scene and they hadn't seen each other in years. And then when they are, you know, they're reunited, and he begins to tell his story to her. And I'll never forget this line in the movie. I think I've shared it before, but I'll share it again. Never forget this line in the movie, because he talked about the blonde girl, the woman, and his childhood girlfriend said, "So you think you should have seen that coming?" Immediately he said, "Yes, yes, I should have seen it coming." Why didn't he see it coming? Because he did not use discretion. So my friends, if you want to live effective, if you want a winning strategy in life, you're going to need prudence, you're going to need knowledge, and you're going to need discretion. And if we get if we get those three things working and operating in our lives, I'm telling you, man, you're going to see some supernatural things happen in your life. You are going to be wise. You're going to be smart. You know another word they use for the word prudence is the word, I know I'm talking about discretion, but I'll go back to prudence. It's the word shrewdness. You will be shrewd if these three things are working in your life.